This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here in the Umpqua Valley. Well, I mentioned it this morning. This is National Ag Day. Date to note, agriculture around America. And Logan Bennett, back in from the Oregon State University Extension Service. He is not taking over this time slot permanently. He was just in here last week doing one of our periodic updates. But Logan, thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here.
So before we get started into all this ag information, you have brought with you a new staff member. Why don't you move the mic over that direction after you tell us who she is?
Absolutely. I'm going to introduce Kaylee Paxton. She's our new educational program assistant, and I'll hand it off to her.
All right, Kaylee, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
So how long have you been at Extension?
I think as of the 22nd, that would be, I'm like 6 months, so I haven't been here for very long.
And what's your background to getting into this?
Well, I actually went to Oregon State University, and my background was in the School of Forestry. Specifically, I have a degree, and they no longer call it this. It's called Trail now, but when I was there, it was Recreation Resource Management, and that was just a fancy way of saying I wanted to be a park ranger, specifically an interpretive guide. So the person that would walk you around and take you on guided tours and give you information about the plants and animals there. And that's kind of how I ended up here, was I love public speaking and educating people about our natural resources. And so this just seemed like a natural stepping stone.
Now, did you do some of that park stuff too?
Yeah, actually a little bit. I worked for a couple, I think like 4 years after college with AmeriCorps. And I was stationed, one of my stations was with the Coos Bay BLM service. And I did compliance monitoring, where I would roam around on the beach and check out what people were doing and educate them about the western snowy plover that nests on the I think the North Spit was what it was. And then I moved all the way to West Virginia, lived there for 2 years, and worked with the Forest Service doing outreach for stream ecology. So I did do a little bit of what I wanted to do.
So did you have any kind of background with Roseburg?
Yeah, I'm actually from Roseburg. I've lived here the majority of my life, and my parents still live here. My whole family lives here, so I'm a local.
And how do you like working at Extension?
I really like it. It's fun. I get to do a lot of neat things. I have a lot of plans. I love, I already knew a lot about forestry, but I didn't know a lot about small farms. So this has been awesome getting to learn a side of Douglas County and Roseburg I wasn't really familiar with, and like how much of it is part of our identity and culture.
All right, perfect. Well, thanks for hanging out here. We're going to talk to Logan now and Kaylee Paxton, again, the new educational programming assistant. Logan, you can grab that back. And let's talk about agriculture in the U.S. I mean, boy, it's come a long way.
Yeah, it definitely has. So agriculture right now, or modern agriculture, is, well, quite a bit different than it was in the past, and we can talk about both of those things. But right now, we're looking at an incredibly productive, science-driven, and diverse farming system. So we have larger, specialized operations, just like in other industries. When you get more capability or capacity, you start to specialize. But we're not only just seeing that. A really big portion of American agriculture is still made up of small family farms. And we see a lot of that here in Douglas County, too. But nationwide, we're looking at, 86% of the farms in the United States from 23 data, showing that small family farms are 86% of that and accounting for about 44% of the direct-to-consumer sales.
Wow. And you hear, a lot of times on the news, what makes the headlines is not the small family farms, it's the big mega operations.
Yeah, and they definitely make up a big part of our agriculture, too. But the modern history isn't just consolidation. It's also resilience, adaptation, and room for all kinds of farms in the U.S.
And obviously, when farming started, I would think part of it was just basic subsistence to have food.
Absolutely. Well, yes, that's true, but we can look even farther than back than that. The farming systems in the United States and Oregon started out as indigenous farming systems based on local productivity, capacity, and local needs. So before we even got to settler agriculture, we were looking at indigenous stewardship of land and local food systems too.
Wow. So it goes way back there. Over the past a number of years, it's been, it seems like, harder and harder for these small farms to make it, though.
Yeah, it's true that the production is concentrated, but the small farms in Oregon, Douglas County, and the United States are still central to that American farm landscape. We're looking at a farming system in a small farm that can thrive where flexibility matters most, right? So when we've got a large consolidated system that produces one kind of crop or a couple kinds of crops, it's harder to be more flexible for direct-to-consumer sales, value-added foods, niche crops, agritourism, things like that.
So how does Oregon stand out nationally?
So we stand out pretty well. One of the things that we have compared to a lot of other states is that we have a really diverse cropping system. So in, let's say, the middle of the United States, we're really focused on a few essential. They are essential crops, but maybe 2 to 4 crops per cropping system. Here in the state, we produce over 220 different kinds of crops.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're highly diversified, and what we consider to be big cropping systems here, because they are considered niche in other places. So, for example, blueberries are considered a quote-unquote niche crop, but they make up a lot of our farming system.
And as part of that, in Oregon, just the whole diversity of, like we talk about wine, all the different little microclimates?
Yeah. Definitely part of it is the microclimates that we have. And then also, we have a really complex and distinct soil profile ranging from the Willamette Valley all the way down to the edge of the state that has some really interesting history about it.
Like what?
So in the Willamette Valley specifically, 13 to 16,000 years ago, we had a series of floods called the Missoula Floods. And we were looking at this 2,000-foot ice wall that repeatedly broke. And as it would break, this water would flood from behind it through Washington into Oregon, carrying all of their productive soil. So we kind of stole their soil. But that led us to being the land of mollisols. And that's a fancy way of saying the most fertile soils in the world.
Yeah, and people, I don't think everybody maybe knows that.
Yeah, so it's a huge event in our ancient history that led to the reason why we're one of the most productive states in terms of these niche crops, because we have these really well-drained, really dark mollic, dark and mollic are sort of synonymous, fertile soils that grow these specialty crops really well.
So how does that look like on the ground in Douglas County?
So on the ground for us, we see that diversified cropping system here where we're looking at all sorts of kinds of agriculture. So, for example, if you look at the 2022 census, we had 1,811 farms here comprising 329,000 acres. And that translates to about $89.8 million of agricultural products sold. So we're certainly an area that's important for agricultural production in the state.
And how do small farms fit into Douglas County specifically?
So we have a lot of small farms here. Go to any of our farmers markets and you'll see that. And we have a lot of niche production. So for example, I've probably talked about this before, but we have a grower here that's producing ginger in ground. And then we also have a grower that's producing bananas and guava in greenhouse, but still in our soil. So we're able to produce a lot of different things in Douglas County. Largely, we're pretty heavy into livestock, but we also have a lot of different cropping systems here too.
And it seems like we have a lot of people willing to take chances when people say, you can't grow that here.
Yes. In general, as a state, we've sort of been that resilient, adaptable kind of folks. When we hear that, you know, maybe we can't grow a specific kind of crop here, we're probably going to try it. And it usually turns out pretty well.
Well, and sometimes it's soil amendments. Sometimes it's different light. A lot of different things you can do to mitigate, you know, what would be different than where that particular crop is normally grown.
Yeah, that kind of brings us back into this modern agriculture view where we've sort of learned a lot about how to grow specific crops through science and communication, not only from farmer to farmer, but also with the Extension Service.
All right, well, we're going to talk more about the Extension Service when we come back. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. We're going to talk about Roseburg Public Library tomorrow and all the things that are going on with Chris Wiley and Aurora Ropp. We're talking ag in Douglas County and really other places, too. Ag Day. It is National Ag Day. Logan Bennett from New Oregon State University Extension Service. And, of course, Extension began, well, when did it begin?
So there's sort of three periods when Extension began, starting in the 1880s and going up to 1914 with the passage of the Smith-Lever Act. In Oregon, however, the Extension Service started around 1908 in off-campus agricultural education. And back then, we were doing things like giving talks outside of train cars. Once we got formalized, quote-unquote, in 1911, we started reaching out and kind of connecting science-backed education to the farm gate.
I wonder if you could do that again, if you would go from community to community in a little train. I don't know. Maybe that wouldn't...
I would try it. That sounds fun.
I don't know. Maybe... But, you know, you picture that from the old movies, kind of like how they did political speeches. You know,
oh, yeah.
They would just go from place to place. So amazing how some of this communication stuff has changed. When Extension started, though, what was sort of the overall reason for doing it?
So the big things that we were looking at were increasing yield, decreasing pest occurrence, and trying to increase livestock production, new genetics, things like that. So just as an example, I was looking back at pictures from 4-H at the fair in the early 1900s. And if you look at the cattle that were being shown then versus the cattle that are being shown now, there's a significant difference.
Now, somebody like me would go, what? I mean, because... you know, if you're not tied to farming or agriculture, you don't really think much about cattle, period.
Sure.
What would look different about a cow now and a cow then?
Well, like we've talked before with wine grapes, there's a different, we'll say, varieties for simplicity of cattle, right? So in 1918, when we were looking at a cow at State Fair in Salem, it was a foot shorter, it had longer horns, it didn't have near the coat that it has now, and it would overall produce less beef probably.
Interesting. So how did that evolution take place?
So modern genetic breeding, selection from different herds and different different breeds of cattle, ends up in a place where we have things like the Angus cow now, where we have larger animals that are more driven towards beef production or milk production or whatever.
Wow. So for Extension, you guys are in every county, right?
We are in almost every county in Oregon. I think we're only out of one county currently.
And any idea how many Extension staff there are?
Oh, good question. We have probably over 600 staff members right now.
And so doing a lot of things like you do, but a lot of different specializations, right?
Oh, for sure. So Extension isn't only agriculture. We have 4-H programs. We obviously have the Master Gardener program. We have family and community health programs around the state, livestock and forages, forestry and natural resources, community improvement. So there's a lot going on in the Extension Service.
So how does Oregon's agricultural history and maybe even what Extension has done kind of fit into the whole national pattern?
So Extension and agriculture have been hand in hand for the last 100 years. We work together really frequently to make sure that everyone is succeeding using science-backed information. And that doesn't just happen here. The Extension Service is all over the United States. And it's really this sort of super special, unique thing that we have in the United States is the Extension Service. There's a lot of things that are similar to it outside of our country, but nobody is perfectly emulating what we're doing.
And in Oregon, how's Extension funded?
The Extension Service is funded through a few different channels. There's state funding and federal funding, and then there's a few other funding channels outside of that, too.
Well, and I know in some, I think back to the 08-09 recession, some places put in, I was trying to think how it was set up, special agricultural districts or just different ways to provide additional funding.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like in our county, for example, part of the Extension Service here is funded by the county through taxpayer levies, things like that.
So what's a good example of Douglas County agriculture evolving?
One of the things that – there's actually two that I like to think about. One is the sheep industry in Douglas County. You may have heard of subterranean clover before. That's something that we use really frequently in sheep grazing. That was introduced by an Extension agent here named Wayne Mosier. He also brought in different breeds of sheep to increase the genetic diversity here for our herds, which helped reduce disease incidence and increase production overall. So that was a pretty cool example of what extension has done in the past. Another one is the Umpqua Valley wine story. We're familiar with the amount of wine that's going on here. We have a really booming wine industry. We have a lot of different vineyards and a lot of different varieties being produced. The wine industry here, believe it or not, actually dates back to the 1880s. So we had folks growing wine grapes here back then, but we didn't officially start having vineyards here until 1961. And then we started to plant and bottle Pinot Noir in Oregon, and the first AVA was established here in 1984. And the Oregon State University Extension Service has been working with those vineyards since then.
Well, and you'll kind of wonder if you talk to some of the wine folks, what could have been, could we have been Napa if it weren't for Prohibition?
That is a good question, and I think I'd leave that up to the vintners to decide.
But, you know, just in terms of that whole pause, a lot of things were just getting off the ground then.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That is a really good point. There's a lot of different vines being put in at that time, and who knows what would have happened.
Well, and it's just sort of amazing. I talked to one of our former staff members who's part, is a descendant of one of those historical families.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, and, back to, record and what was going on then, and then, Prohibition.
Things change, don't they?
But when Richard Sommer started with Hillcrest, again, we talked about this whole thing. We've talked about it in wine interview programs, too. Everybody said, you can't do that in Oregon.
Yeah, well, that was incorrect. Going back to our talk about tenacity earlier, when people say they can't, we do.
Right. And, he was specifically for Pinot.
Yeah.
UC Davis said, no, you're not going to be able to do that in Oregon.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, right. UC Davis are one of those places down there, but I think maybe he tried to do it just to prove them wrong.
Well, it created a pretty exceptional AVA here with a really unique terroir.
So, agriculture is really so many different things.
Yeah.
And so many different aspects to it. Do you feel like the ag community overall is doing pretty good around here?
Yeah, I think in general, our ag community is really robust and really resilient. We have a lot of different folks doing a lot of different things here, but the communication through everybody, not only through the Extension Service, of course, but through farmers markets, CSAs, the Farm Bureau, folks at the co-op, we have a really good communication system here. So folks are, in general, in the know of what's going on and really working well together.
Mention real quick, you've got a couple classes or events coming up.
Yeah, so the two that I'm really pushing right now are Boots on the Ground, which starts next weekend, and then Be Basic. Those are both veteran-focused agricultural programs. If you want to learn how to grow your own food, start your own horticulture, and if you want to start a business, Boots on the Ground is a great place to start. And then anything apiary would be Be Basic.
And how do people get connected with getting involved in these?
Absolutely. The best way to do it is to go on our website at Douglas County Extension here in Roseburg, or you can give me a call, 541-236-3015, or shoot me an email, logan.bennett@oregonstate.edu.
And one more thing before we go, you've got a big event in May, right?
We do. May 2nd is going to be the Douglas County Master Gardener Plant Sale. We'll be at the fairgrounds. It's a one-day event, and there'll be a lot of plants and a lot of people.
All right. And again, what's the website for the Extension?
Yeah, just check out Douglas County Extension, Roseburg, Oregon.
All right. Logan Bennett of the Oregon State University Extension Service on National Ag Day. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.